I think last week, because again there was a lot of noise on Skype, someone had asked if we could summarize the key points from last week's discussion. Unfortunately, I have my trusted listeners as you guys sitting in front of me, so I'm going to ask you to help me do that. Because the thing is, when I come and sit down here, I don't have a script that I follow. I don't have a structure to it. I just talk about whatever comes into my mind. And, you know, that's also driven by some of the questions you ask. And I think we had some really, really good questions last week. And hopefully we'll have some this week as well. This is why I invite people connected on Skype to also post your questions on Skype, and we can pick it up from there. But let's try and summarize quickly what we discussed last week. This week we also ensured to start the recording. I think last week we were only able to record the last half an hour, so some people missed out. And also, this is why we say, if you are able to, then please come and sit down with us, in front of us, and try and listen to this, because then you don't have all the distractions of noise on the line, or, you know, internet problems and all of these things. You know, think about how many courses need to line up in the right way for you to be able to listen to a Deshana online. The internet needs to be working. Everyone else on you know, connected to the call must have their mics muted, right? What if you just, you know, have your child sit in front of the microphone? You walk away, the child is just playing with the computer. They just unmute themselves, and then, you know, that's it for everyone else. So this is why you need to be always mindful about. Again, these things should be lessons. This is why I always say, the world is now your teacher. When you realize that everything is cause and effect, the world becomes your teacher. All you should see is cause and effect. And we'll talk about some of that today as well, as to how achieving the Sotapanna stage, how do you become a Sotapanna? That's also a cause and effect process. I think that was a question that we ended last week's discussion on. How do you become a Sotapanna? And there have been a few requests online as well asking the same question. So it must be that, you know, there are a lot of people today who have the good fortune to hopefully understand what that means. How do you become a Sotapanna? And then achieve that maybe today. Who knows, right? Because the thing is, normally when we start the early in the early stages of discussions, people generally ask questions about the world. You know, what about the devas? How does the universe operate? But it's really great that young children these days, you know, they ask questions like, how do I become a Sotapanna? This is the kind of thing that we are really excited to talk about, because, you know, we can talk about the world and the universe forever and ever and ever. That's not going to help you attain Nibbana. The only thing that's going to help you attain Nibbana is to understand, how do you become a Sotapanna? How do you become a Sakadagami? How do you become an Anagami? How do you become an Arahat? And how do you end this rebirth cycle? That is what we're here to achieve. Okay? Right. So let's try and summarize what we discussed last week. Can you remind me what that was?
We defined the meaning of Buddha Sangha.
Okay, so we talked about Buddha Sarnam Gacchami, Dhamman Sarnam Gacchami, Sangha Sarnam Gacchami, which is taking refuge in the Buddha, the Dhamma and the Sangha. But we gave meaning to what that is, right? You know, from a very young age, we are used to reciting Buddha Sarnam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddha Sarnam Gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddha Sarnam Gacchami, Dhammang sarnam gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang sarnam gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang sarnam gacchami, sanghang sarnam gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang sarnam gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang sarnam gacchami. But we gave new meaning to it. What was the meaning that we gave to when you take or seek refuge in the Buddha? What is Buddhang sarnam gacchami? What does that mean? Why do we say Buddhang Saranam Gacchami?
Because the Buddha tried, for most of his life, tried to think really hard to find the Siddhartha Lama, mm-hmm. and preach it to us. So, when he from the research, it is a great person, so we take this refuge towards him.
Okay. Shall we? Yeah. Anything to add to that?
And then also, we just have that refuge sometimes when we say, it's a refugee, and then also just like the refugees who get the stuff because we realize that this phone call has no end, and then sort of softens, and we come to him for like with medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are like asking him to
recognize him. Okay. Sashi?
Not
question. Not question, okay. So what meaning did we give to the word Buddha? Or Buddha? Yes. So Buddha is Bha Buddha. That is Bhava Buddha. Okay? That is Bhavaya, which is this rebirth process of going through that takes us in samsara. Eka Buddha Kaladana Kyane, to remove it from, pull it out from the soil, from the roots. Yeah? Along with the roots. Because what happens if you leave roots in there?
It'll grow again.
But if you remove it with along with its roots, then that's it, right? It doesn't grow again. So the meaning that we gave to the word Buddha is Bhavaya Buddha. So that is someone that has removed this the process of rebirth along with its roots, so that rebirth does not take place for that person ever again in samsara. Okay? So, and then we discussed that there were three types of Buddhas. What are the three types of Buddhas?
Yes,
Pacheka Buddha. Okay? Now, so there's the Sammasambuddha, there's the Arhatta Buddha, and there's the Pacheka Buddha. So we discussed what the three types of Buddhas are. A Sammasambuddha is someone who figures how do you do that by yourself. Okay? An Arhatta Buddha is a disciple of that teaching, and then therefore follows the teaching of the Sammasambuddha and becomes a Buddha. And a Pacheka Buddha is again someone who realizes it for themselves, but we discussed that a Pacheka Buddha is not able to give a discourse on that, to explain a path to someone so that someone else could attain and become an Arahata Buddha or even a Sotapanna. Okay? So that's not possible because they've become a Pacheka Buddha in a way that does not follow the standard process for eradicating this avidya tanha. Right? So hopefully these things are being refreshed in your memory as we go through them. Now remember, the reason we talk about these things is not for you to memorize it. I'm not going to give you a test at the end of it and ask you, list the three types of Buddha. The only reason you need to understand these things is so that you can give meaning to what you do. Because, I'm sure from an age when you could understand, your parents would have taken you to temples, would have, asked you to sit in front of, or stand in front of the Buddha statue and go Buddhan Saranam Gacchami. And you and I, we've all been doing this for a long time without really knowing what is it, why am I wasting my time here? You're asking me to say Buddhan Saranam Gacchami, what am I doing? I don't understand why, what is the Buddha going to give me? What's the Buddha ever given me? If I went and, if I did that for 5 minutes every day, right, you do that for a week, how long is that? That's half an hour. Just more than half an hour, right? You do that over a month, that's 2 hours. Okay? Those 2 hours you could, and then, over a year, if you are born a Buddhist, you'll probably do this for the rest of your life, from the time that you can, begin to understand, at least recite the words clearly. So if you extrapolate that over the course of your lifetime, you probably have spent at least a year in front of the Buddha statue saying Buddhan Saranam Gacchami without really knowing what you're doing. Do you really want to waste a year of your life? we discussed how precious life is. Okay? We discussed how difficult it is to born a human being. to be born a human being. And then to waste a year of that is atrocious. So this is why when you do something, you need to understand why you're doing it. You clearly need to understand why you're doing it. So today we'll try and, you know, I mean, ultimately we're trying to achieve this state of sotapanna. So and again, we need to understand why we're trying to do that. Because it's only when you understand why, then you ask the question how. If you don't understand why, the question how is purely to attain knowledge. There's no, you know, one, you can attain all the knowledge there is about the world, about the universe. But for what gain? If you're not doing anything with it, then what's the point? You know, along with your death, that just goes in, you know, that just disappears. That knowledge is not to be, you know, there's no use to it after that. So what's the point? I mean, you know, you and I, we spend a lot of time deciding what subjects we want to do for our GCSEs, what subjects we want to do for our A-levels, what subjects we want to study at, what disciplines we want to study at university. Because we want to make sure that we know what we want to be doing in the future. Right? So some people say, you know, from a very young age, I want to become this, I want to become that, I want to be an engineer, or a lawyer, or a doctor, okay, a scientist, a mathematician. And then depending on what your goal is, you set your course in life. Now if you wanted to be a mathematician, and somehow you figured that actually studying music is not going to help me do that, unlikely that you're going to spend your time studying music. You may do it for fun, but what grades you get for that might not, you know, you might not be so serious about it. But if you want to be a mathematician, what about if you started failing your maths tests at GCSE and A-levels? You're going to get worried. You're going to ask yourself the question, am I setting myself up to fail, or am I setting myself up in the right way? Am I doing all the right things I need to be doing to attain my goal? If I want to be a mathematician, I'm failing my GCSE maths exams, I'm doubtful that I'm going to get there. And the same process applies for attaining Nibbana. You need to define what that goal is. If your aim is to become a sotapanna, why become a sotapanna? What do I need to... Then you ask the question, why? Okay, once you're very clear, why do I need to become a sotapanna? Then you understand, what do I need to do to become a sotapanna? Or how do I become a sotapanna? Because otherwise it's just knowledge. Okay? Knowledge for the sake of it means nothing. You know, there's a saying that knowledge is power. Have you heard of that? I don't necessarily agree with that. What I do agree with, though, is knowledge put into action is power. If you have knowledge, but you don't do anything with it, that's not power. That's just a tool set. That's just a toolkit. I've got a toolkit in my cupboard somewhere. What power is that giving me right now? Nothing. Because I'm not using it. Yeah? So this is why, once you're very clear, why do you need to become sotapanna? Why do you need to attain nibbana? Then we need to ask the question, how? And then make sure your path is straight, you know what you're doing, and then you start walking on that path. Okay? So, Bhaveya Buddha is Buddha. There are three types of Buddha. And then we talked about Saranam. What does Saranam mean? Saranam. What does that mean? Sarana. What is Sarana? Again, I understand these are singular words. We try to give meaning to them. So, you know, it's going to be difficult. Okay, for the first few times. Sara is Sarisarana. Sarisarana is to roam. Okay? Who roams? What's roaming? There's various types of roaming these days. You got international roaming. Well, okay, you know, in any sense, what does roaming mean? I mean, you know, you've got cattle that roam, right? They roam in grasslands. What do they do? What's roaming? What is roaming, Sashi? Okay. What is it to roam? I'm not talking about Rome in Italy. I'm talking about Rome. To roam is to walk around. Okay? Sometimes aimlessly. If you're going with a destination in mind, that's a journey. If you're just walking around, that's roaming. Okay, so when you're, for example, so there's international roaming is something you have on phones these days. So if you're based in one country and you want to take your mobile phone to another country and use it there, you have to activate this thing called roaming that allows you to do that. But if you don't do that, then your phone doesn't work when you go to the other country. So they activate this thing setting called roaming. Again, so when you activate that, you can travel freely. Sarana kiyanne thonne adahas. That's what roaming is. Okay, so that's what sarana is. Okay? So sarana kiyanne mokada? Na kiyanne nasana kiyanne. To stop. To destroy. Nasana. Ahala thiyana da visabija nasaka kiyala wacana. What is visabija? Visabija? So visabija is what's visabija?
Germs,
yes. Germicide. So visabija nasaka is a germicide. Do you know what a germicide is? It's something that kills a germ. Okay? Insecticide, we heard of insecticides. So when you add the word "icide" or "side," that's something that kills whatever it is that you've got the prefix for. So an insecticide, germicide, okay? So nasaka is that meaning, side, as in to destroy, to stop. So to stop roaming is sarana. Where are we roaming? In samsara. Okay? So ita kota buddhang sarana nang kiyanne mokada? What does that mean then? Yes. But how does that help us? So buddhang saranam is, one meaning of that would be, the Buddha has done this. So what? How does that help me? I seek refuge in that. When you seek refuge, you're not necessarily saying, oh, you know, it's great, you've done this, well done, congratulations, I'm gonna go away, take a walk. Seeking refuge is, you know, I can see you're in a position where I can get something out of that. I need refuge. This is why I'm taking refuge. I'm not here to say, well done, thank you, you know, congratulations. I'm here to say, I'm desperately in need of something. Can I have that, please? When we have refugees from other countries, they don't just come up to our border and go, oh, well done, you guys. Congratulations. See you later. That's not what they say. They come and go, we are destitute. We are in despair. We've got nothing. Help us. So do you have those thoughts crossing your mind when you say Buddhang Saranam Gacchami? Or is it just a case of, oh, well done Buddha, you did what you always wanted to do. Congratulations. The Buddha is not here with us today. What is he gonna get out of that? Why do we read books of successful people?
So that
we can be successful. Exactly. Right? So this is why we seek refuge in the Buddha. We appreciate that the Buddha, or when he was a Bodhisattva, followed a certain process and he attained the fruit, that is, to become a Buddha. So he stopped this rebirth cycle by pulling it from its roots. Bhava Buddha karla dapu uttamek. Yeah? And then we realize that to end this process of roaming in samsara, to end this process of roaming in samsara, I need to take refuge in the Buddha. Which means, you've managed to do that, now I realize I need to do the same thing. And that is why you say, Buddhang saranam gacchami. It's an appreciation, it's taking on yourself. It's looking at someone who's been successful and then committing yourself to what they've done to become successful and saying, right, I'm going to do the same thing now because I see a problem here. I see a problem that is going through samsara. You had the same problem. You managed to find a solution to it. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to stop this process of going through samsara. Okay? That's Buddhang Saranam Gacchami. So what is Dhammang Saranam Gacchami then? The word Saranang is the same. Sangam saranam gacchami. So the only things that differ are Buddhang, Dhammang, Saranam. Sangam. What's the difference? What is Dhammang saranam gacchami?
The Buddha's teaching.
Remember, we said first you need to understand what you need to do, what you need to do, then you understand how you need to do it. Okay? So, when you realize, yeah, I need to stop this rebirth cycle, and to do that, I need to pull avidya tanha, which is delusion and attachment, from his roots. That is what will enable me to become a Buddha. That is what the state of being a Buddha is. How do I do that? And that is what the Dhamma teaches you. Remember, the Buddha says, "Yo dhammang passati so mam passati." What does that mean? If you want to see the Buddha today, how would you see the Buddha?
One of the greatest people in history.
Yes. So he was one of the greatest people in history. But if you had no idea of, okay, just let me put it this way. Someone comes to you and asks you, I hear, someone's told me about Einstein. Einstein, yeah, okay, Einstein, right, whatever, I don't care what the name is. Apparently, he's done some great things. I'm not sure, I've just heard of this name, I wasn't even sure exactly what the name was, but, you know, thank you for clarifying that. Apparently, he's a great person, he's done lots of things, he's done a lot of service. Really? What has he done? Why should I care about what he's done or what his teachings are, etc.? What would you do? If you knew who Einstein was, do you know who Einstein was, Sasha? Let's stick with Einstein. I think most people know Einstein, but we'll help Sasha understand who Einstein was. Daniel, can you explain to Sasha who Einstein was?
Einstein was a German scientist. He found a way to mass or some sort of like gravity.
She's gonna understand that now, right? Okay, so Einstein was a German scientist. He was one of the greatest scientists ever. And you know, to this day, when was he around? Okay, many years ago. Okay, and even to this day, we talk about things like, you know, gravity, which is how the worlds, you know, stay in their axes, and lots of things, you know. Is thanks to Einstein and what he contributed to society. So he taught us a lot of things about science, okay? He taught us how the world works. He went and discovered that, and he taught us how it works. And today we are grateful for that. And we learn about him when we go to school and college and university. So that's who Einstein was. But when someone comes and asks you who was Einstein, what do you tell him about? What do you tell that person about Einstein?
The great things he's done.
Okay. you don't describe his figure. I mean, he had a funny haircut, which is one of, you know, his key characteristics when you see it as a figure. But when someone asks you why do you think that he's a great person, you don't tell them because he had a great, you know, he had a funny haircut. You tell him about the things he has done. You tell him about the service. You tell him about the service that he's rendered. The kind of thing, you know, the experiments that he did, the things he found, and the things that he taught us, the science that he taught us, that helps us live a comfortable life today. Okay? So, likewise, if someone came and asked you, oh, I hear someone called the Buddha, why do you think he's a great person? Apparently he's a great person. Apparently, I don't know. Why do you think he's a great person? What would you say?
When he stopped he's helped people stop the whipping.
Yeah. Yeah, so you would tell them about his teaching. Because without the teaching, the Buddha is nothing. Nothing in the sense, we wouldn't recognize him as a Sammasambuddha. It's the teaching that makes him such a great character beyond compare. Because no one else has given us that teaching. This is why the Buddha says, "Yo dhammang passati so mang passati." To see me, you've got to see me through the Dhamma. He didn't say, take a picture of me and put it up on your wall and that's how you would see the Buddha. He didn't say, you know, paint a picture or take a photo of me or, you know, draw me on a canvas or anything like that. He said, to see me, you've got to see the Dhamma. Right? So, what did he mean by that? He meant two things. Well, I'm sure he meant lots of things, but I can tell you two important things he meant. First, if you want to understand what it is that the Buddha did, the Buddha as a person, okay, and the service that he gave to this society, the universe essentially, you've got to look at it from what did he actually teach us. And that was the Dhamma. And secondly, if you also want to become a Buddha, because, you know, why are we interested in successful people? Because you want to try and become like them. Why are you not interested in people who did nothing but disservice? You know, people do talk about the likes of Hitler, Adolf Hitler and other people like that, you know. But you don't want to become someone like him. You want to become someone that did good to themselves and society, right? And therefore when we talk about the Buddha, we need to talk about what was it that he gave us that helped us become someone like him. And that was the Dhamma. Okay? This is why the Dhamma is so important. Once you've understood, to end this roaming that we do in samsara, I need to become a Buddha. The second question is, okay, how do I do that? There comes the answer. Dhammam saranam gacchami. Sara nasanna me dharmayama tamai mata pavichchi karanne. There's nothing else. There's nothing other than the Dhamma that's going to help me become a Buddha. Make sense? Okay. Then, sangham saranam gacchami. What does that mean? What is sangham? Can you hear us? What is sangha?
Sanghasana,
exactly, well done. So what is sang? Sang, gha, sang, gasana. Gasana again, what?
To shake off.
To shake off, yeah? Kaapattika gasana. Kaapattika ammala karana kethari. When there is dust on the carpet, your mother takes it out and they dust it. Eka thang gasana kiyana, singhal. So what is sang kiyana, what? Kasanne sangnam, sang kiyanne mokad? Sang is the combination of delusion and attachment. Delusion is being avidya, attachment being tanha. Avidya, tanha deke ekatuva tamai sang kiyanne. Theruvada? So, if I want to shake off avidya, tanha or delusion and attachment, That is what you commit to when you say sangam, saranam, gach. What is gacchami? What is gacchami? Do you realize how important this discussion is? Because you've been saying this all your life. You know, think about how old you are. And you've been saying it for that long. Well, take away maybe 4 or 5 years, maybe 5, 6 years, because you know you couldn't utter a word until you were that age. If you are a late starter, maybe take about 10 years off. Okay? But, you know, particularly if you are from a Buddhist background, and knowing your parents, you know, they will have, you know, the first word they would have wished for you to have uttered is Buddha. The first word they would have wished for you to have uttered would be Dhamma. The first word they would have wished for you to have uttered is Sangha. Not oh. You know, that's how committed and dedicated your parents are to this. That's their level of understanding. You know, they want to end this rebirth cycle. So anyway, this is why this discussion is so important. You know, and if you don't understand this now, you're still going to continue doing this. You're going to continue doing this until, you know, even on the deathbed, usually what they do in Sri Lanka is they bring a hamaduro. Onto your deathbed, you know, in your last moments, and they get the hamadru to preach pirit, to recite pirit. Pirit kine karanna? Okay? Iti etakotath e manusaya mokadda kiyanne? Ane hamadrune buddhan saranam gacchami, dhamman saranam gacchami, sanghan saranam gacchami. Kiyala thamai pirit ahanna patan ganna. Iti edakath kiyenawane oka. E dannai ne meke theruma. This is why it's so important. Okay? So what is sangham? What is sang then? Combination of delusion and attachment. And we'll come to delusion and attachment because this is so important when we talk about how do you become a sotapanna. It is this delusion and attachment that takes us through samsara, like no other. We'll come back to that. But if you come to the strong determination, I need to dust this off, I need to get rid of this, I need to eradicate this delusion and attachment, that is what will help me, that is what I will do by practicing Dhamma, the Dhamma, therefore I can become a Buddha. First question, what do I need to do? Become a Buddha. How do I do it? What is it that teaches me? You know, think about it, right? If you want to build a house and you have no one to teach you, what would you do? You might think, oh, let me go to the library. I might read a book and find out about it. First you need to have a goal, a vision. That is, I need to build a house. Then you go to the library. You could find a good book. Now you are taking in all the Dhamma that's going to help you do that. Okay, you're going through that book. Ah, right, found it. Then you go, okay, if I do this, that and that, you find that, you know, within Dhamma you find the exact thing you need to do. Then you know, okay, that's exactly what I need to do so that I can build my house. When you want to attain Nibbana, you realize I need to become a Buddha. The Dhamma is my only refuge for that. There is nothing else that's going to help me do that. And then putting into practice the Dhamma, it will help me eradicate avidya trushna, which is delusion and attachment. And then obviously, you know, you worship and you venerate the people who are trying to do that and the people who have already done that. So, sangam sarnam gacchami kiyala e vanina gathave. You know, you think about 8 different types of people, 4 pairs. Atta purisa puggala, esa bhagavato savaka sangha. You know, ne? Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangha, uchupatipanno bhagavato savaka sangha. Sravaka sangha. Sravaka sangha kiyane mokadda? Sravaka kiyane mokadda? Sravaka kiyane kaning ahagatta kattiya. Ahagatta kattiya. So these are people that have listened to the Buddha's teaching and they are all on the path to attaining Nibbana, just like you and I. And there are 4 pairs of these people. Sotapanna marga, sotapanna pala. Sakurdagami marga, sakurdagami pala. Anagami marga, anagami pala. And arahatta marga, arahatta pala. These are your 4 pairs. Atta purisa puggala. Atta is 8. Purusa is people, puggala. Atta purusa puggala. Okay? So that's why you do sangha asala dana. Then api katha karanne kohomada sangha asala dana kiyala. Meka thamai eda sashimayen ahuwe, how do you become a sotapanna? That's what we are going to talk about now. Okay? So, you've been listening to this Dhamma for long enough to understand why you need to become a Sotapanna. And I don't think I need to spend a lot of time today talking about that. We talked about the hells, we talked about the Peretas, we talked about the Tirisannapayas, the Niriyapayas, and even, you know, we talked about being a human being, how painful that is. Forget the hell realms. What about being a human being? When I talk to a new group of children, one of the things I ask them to do is go and speak to their parents and ask them, for however long they've lived, you know, they've been living lives to be successful, to be happy, go and ask them, are you happy today? Have you achieved what you're looking for today? If so, give me that gift. If you are still not happy, then don't force me to go the same path that you have. Allow me to find a different path, or help me to find that. If you can't help me, at least allow me to do that. Your parents are helping you to find a different path that will take you to ultimate happiness. Okay, so that's why you need to become a Sotapanna. Remember what we talked about? Again, this is an important point from last week. You know, you acquire all of these merits that take you to heaven. It's easy to do merits in the human world. Because there are people that need food, there are people that need clothing, okay? You can go and, rescue animals, all of these things that we do today. Pin karaganna kiyala karan, pin siddha wenna weda. Divya loke kawuda inne apin kama illana. Who in the heavens, are there any gods that will ask you for food? No, they'll have their own share. Whatever merits they've done, they'll be able to reap the benefits of that. So, divya loke gihilla nam pin karaganna harima amaru. Puluwan. Kusal karaganna puluwan. Pin karaganna nam harima amaru. There's a difference between pin and kusal. There's a difference between pin and kusal. Kusal will help you attain nibbana. Pin will help you live comfortable lives. So, pin karabu godak kattiya divya loke yanam. Kusal karna kattiya divya loke yanam. But their goal is attaining nibbana. Mokada pinai kusala atara venasa. This is important for you as well. And we'll then come on to how do you become a sotapanna. Because kusal is what will help you become a sotapanna. What's the difference between pin and kusal? Do you think they're the same? බුදුහාඳුරෝ කියනවා පිනට බය වෙන්න එපා කියලා. පින් කරන්න බය වෙන්න එපා කියලා කියන උතුම්. Don't be afraid of doing pink. You know pink is all the දස පුණ්‍ය ක්‍රියා කියලා ඔයගොල්ලෝ දහම් පාසලේ ඉගෙනගෙන තියෙනවා. දන් දෙනෙව්වා. ඒ ඔක්කොම පින්. හාමුදුරන්ට දානයක් දුන්නා. When you offer alms to the sangha in the temple, the hamduru in the temple, that is pink. You can get lots of pink from that. Now sometimes people are worried about doing thing actually in this day and age because there's various interpretations. Some people think doing thing is going to take you through in sansara. It's going to take you forward in sansara. And this is important because people listen to the Dhamma and they go, I don't want to go through in sansara. Mata sara nasanna yone. Mama terung gatta ekada budhu enna one kiyala. Budhu enna kiyanne samma sambuddha neme. I need to become an arahata buddha to stop this roaming process in sansara. Okay? Now, if that's what I need to do, is doing ping going to take me further in sansara? If so, I don't want to do ping. That's another delusion that people are in. I want to remove you from that, in case you are in it. If you're not, then great. But don't let anyone put you there. Buddhahandaru, ping karana bhaiven nepa kela. Buddhahandaru kaudat varidhya kiyai. If it's going to put you into misery, if it's going to put you into suffering, the Buddha will never tell you to do that. So he says, don't be scared, don't be afraid of doing ping. Do as much ping as you can. Because he says, humans, gods, brahmas, all of these forms of existence survive on ping. Why do you think you get food and clothing and shelter? Now one might say, it's because my parents give that to me. Why do you think you have that? Yes, exactly. Because you've done ping in your previous birth. And maybe this birth as well. Why do you see people suffer, people not having food, beggars. Remember we talked about a monk last week. Even after becoming arahant, he wasn't able to get any food. And then Venerable Sariputta had to go and bring some food for him, and even then he wasn't able to have that. Why? Because he never gave any food to anybody. So, to attain Nibbana, you need to do certain things, right? It's an exercise. Now to do exercise, you need energy. Yeah, I know it might be a mental exercise, but for that you need to be alive. You need to have a certain level of physical comfort. You don't need to live in a mansion. You need to have some shelter, you need to have clothing to protect you, and you need to have food that keeps you healthy. Because if you are sick, how can you attain Nibbana? You can't. If you are hungry, how can you attain Nibbana? You can't. Because your mind is always focused on that. You need to have a relative, a reasonable amount of comfort to be able to attain Nibbana. And to get that reasonable amount of comfort, you need to do ping. So, ping karan natuwa nivan dakina amaru. Now, ping karla nivan dakina bad. Do you understand the difference between the two? To help you get to Nibbana, you need ping. But doing ping itself is not going to help you, itself is not going to get you to Nibbana. That's where kusal comes in. Kusal ke naam vachane terum agar. Isla ping ke na vachane terum agar. What's the difference? What's ping and kusal? So ping is pinavima. What is pinavima? Pinavima is to make you happy. This is another singular word, pinavima. Okay? Rajatuma janayage pinavima udasa chalavak karavi. Nattam mukakharidak haduva. Again, the king, for the pleasure, for the happiness of the people living in the country, did this, did that. Pinavima can to make people happy, to make yourself happy. So to be happy you need ping. It's the ping that you've done that will give you that. What is kusal? Kunu kyan manad? Dirt. That is ku. Kunu kyan eva. Kusal. Kusal kyan ku kyan dirt. Salanwa kyan eva. Salaharinwa kyan. To let go. To remove. Salaharinwa. So ku sal kyan eva. Kunu salaharinwa. So to remove dirt. What dirt are we talking about? Are we talking about getting in the shower? What dirt are we talking about? Raga, dvesha, moha. Raga, dvesha, moha kiyana kunu, the dirt that is raga, which is lust, and it's not necessarily sexual lust, any kind of lust this is, right? Lust, or desires, okay? Dvesha, which is aversion, anger, hatred, all of these words describe dvesha, okay? And moha, delusion. So, raga, dvesha, moha, kunu, salaharna. That's the difference between ping and kusal. So, what do you need to do? So, you need to continue doing any ping that you are doing right now, because that will help you continue do what you need to do to become an arahat. And on the first step to that would be to become a sotapanna. Again, kusal karaganna, ping karala tiyenna. Nantenna man kiyanne. To do your kusal, so you can eradicate your raga, dvesha, moha, you need to have done thing before that. Because that sets the foundation. Imagine you're building a house, first you set your foundation. And the foundation, you stand on the foundation and continue building the rest of it. Your ping is what gives you that foundation. Okay? Right. How do you become a sotapanna? What do you think? Well done, Sashun. That's the answer I gave you last week and you remembered that. Well done, I'm very impressed. So what kind of bana? Let's define our goal. Why do you want to, okay. Now, when I ask you this question, why do you want to become a sotapanna? I'm not asking you why do you not want to go in samsara. Because we've discussed that. Okay? We've identified that attaining nibbana is what we need to do. What is nibbana? Or nirvana. What is nirvana? It's not the band. Some people tell me it's the music band. Nirvana. Have you heard of that? Apparently there's a band called Nirvana. This is the thing, you know, these days you try and teach the Dhamma to young people, and they, you know, you talk nirvana and they're thinking rock bands. This is what's happened to the Dhamma. So this is why you need to be very careful. Okay? Anyway, you and I, we understand what nirvana is. We are talking in the Buddhist, from a Buddhist perspective. What is nirvana then? What is nirvana? What is nibbana? What is that? Exactly. So the total eradication of raga, dvesha, moha is nirvana. Is it a place somewhere that exists? Is it a place that exists somewhere? Can you get on a plane and travel to nirvana? Is that somewhere that gives you a visa and you need on your passport you get, can I go to nirvana? The flight starts boarding in half an hour. Is it that kind of place? No, it's not that kind of place. How do you know when someone's attained nirvana?
They will have their own thing.
They won't have any raga, dvesha, moha. So who's going to know that? Can you look at someone and go, you have attained nirvana? Can you, Sati? No. Why is that? Say again, sorry? It would be cheating, yes. They can put up appearances, okay? Okay, so what kind of face is the face of someone that has attained nirvana then? Okay, so let's imagine they're not cheating, they're not trying to put up an appearance, they have really attained nirvana. How would you look at their face and go, you've attained nirvana, yeah, I can see that, and you're not cheating?
Because of their actions, that will tell you totally if they have. But only them themselves can tell that they themselves have.
Absolutely, yes. So, there are two people that can tell whether you have attained nirvana. Who's one of them?
Yourself.
And the second?
The Buddha.
Only two people can say for definite whether you have attained nirvana. Yourself and the Sammasambuddha. Okay? Now the reason for that, the reason I'm stressing this point is because you need to understand exactly what attaining nirvana is and what it's not. Because if you don't spend time clearly defining what your goal is, imagine you're an architect, you're building a house. You need to be 100% clear on all of the details of your house before you start building it. Otherwise you put your foundation, you put your windows, and then you realize the frames are not big enough. Then you have to go back to the drawing board. And that is very painful. And we don't have the time for that. I gave you that metaphor. You have this water that's dripping every second. There's a drop of water that's dripping every second. Did I talk to you about that? No? Imagine you had, there was some kind of pond, a small pond, okay? Imagine actually you held your hands together and you put some water into it. Now you've got this water in the palms of your hand and you've got your hands together like this. Okay, every few seconds there's a drop of water that's dripping. Because no matter how tight you hold it, there are gaps between your fingers and there's water dripping every few seconds. Your life is like that. There's a finite amount of time you've come to spend in this world. What does finite mean? It's limited. It's not infinite. It's not infinite. You don't have forever. You have a very limited... The moment you are born, if your mother could look into the future, she will say, you are going to die on this day. With every birth comes death. So you and I, we are all going to die one day. It's just how we are going to die and the day we are going to die, that differs for each of us. But we are all going to die. Okay, so there's a drop of water that's dripping from this. Tick, 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 tick. Okay, and with our understanding of the Dhamma, before you had any understanding of the Dhamma, the water that's dripping from this is dirty water. It's water you get from sewers. You know what a sewer is, Sashi? What is a sewer, Janu? Yeah. So when you flush your toilet, that water with all of the dirt in there goes into the sewers. So imagine you're holding some water from from the sewers in your hands. That is your life before you understand the Dhamma. Why? Because that's the kind of things we do. We kill, we steal, we lie, backbiting. You know, you go and talk about someone behind their back and you say, this person said this about you. We start wars, we start fights. So it's dirty sewer water that you have in your hands. Before you understand the Dhamma, before you listen to the Dhamma. But with your understanding of the Dhamma, you start cleaning, you start purifying this water. First you take out all of the dirty bits. Kakka. Aingarna. Hari? Ekadina marriage sattu yam in sewers, dead animals, dead insects in sewers. I mean in Sri Lanka you see like dead dogs, dead cats. You know, they've got plenty of stray dogs and cats in Sri Lanka, right? You find them in sewers. So imagine you're holding water like that and you've got dead animals, dead insects in there. First you need to start removing them. Because you need to purify this water so you can drink it. You need to make use of your life on this planet. While you're doing that, someone comes and hits your hand. You know, from underneath or from top. Someone just, you know, in passing, just hit your hands. What happens then? Your hands move away and all the water falls down. That's the end of your life. And even when someone says, you know, so how careful do you need to be about it? You're always looking around. Is someone approaching me? You know, you're very precious about your life, and you have to be. But you're still holding dirty sewer water in your hands. By the same time, you're protecting this because this is, you need to drink as well. You're thirsty. This is why while you're holding this, your thirst is what takes you in samsara. Looking for something that's going to satisfy your thirst. Looking for something that's going to give you happiness. The thirst that you have, the burning sensation you have inside you, the fire that's burning inside you, you want something to put that out. So you're walking around looking for that. And people think it's out there. But everyone's got this dirty sewer water in their hands. You walk to the other person and go, can I have some water please? They go, yeah, I've got some water here. But that's a dirty sewer water. They're just like yours. I can't drink that. Yeah, I know. So this is why I'm looking for somewhere as well. And people go around talking to other people, looking for clean water to drink, when they don't realize they could do it themselves with the water that they have in their palms. So picture this. When before you do something bad, if you think about lying to your parents or anyone else for that matter, if you think about stealing something that doesn't, obviously not, something that doesn't belong to you, that's when it's stealing. If you think about squashing an ant or a mosquito because you think that's annoying me, a fly, you know, you're fortunate you don't have those things in this country, but in Sri Lanka there's plenty, you know, they're plentiful. And so people don't think twice before they do that. You know, all of that is because you have this dirty sewer water and you want to drink this. You can't because it's going to kill you. The moment you drink it, it's going to kill you. It's that dirty. It's got bacteria. It's got viruses in there. It's got insects. You know, it's just, you know, you wouldn't go and pick some water from the sewer and drink it now, right? Would you? No. This is why you need to clean this. So how do you clean this? Yes. So pinkarama venne, it's like you add some chemical to this. You add some chemical to this water so that all of the bad stuff deposits at the bottom. All the bad stuff deposits at the bottom. Sediment. Now the water is clean, cleaner than it used to be. But the bad stuff is still there. You've not totally removed it. Kusal karaha mokada venne. E tina jarava ayin karaha. Kunu salaharina. Nokane kiwi kunu salaharina o kiyala. Vature tina kunu tika salaharina. Ayakana okkoma ekeka aragini ivat karana. You throw it out, all the dirt that's in the water. Pinavano kiyanne. අර වතුර ටික පොඩ්ඩක් සුද්ධ කරලා ගන්නවා පොඩ්ඩක් බොන්න පුළුවන්. So pina tiyena taakan you can drink it. But as soon as you know someone comes along, they say something to anger you, they show you something and you know that ignites lust or raga inside you, what happens then? All the dirt inside, what happens to that? You remix it. It again mixes with all the water and now you can't drink it again. But what does listen to the Dhamma do? It helps you to kunu salaharin. One by one you remove the dirt from that. First you start with the pieces of kakka inside there. You remove that. The big bits, you remove that. Right? Yidapasavati, you know, kolarodu himati. You know, bits of leaves, small dead insects. You remove those things. Now as you continue to do that, your water start, you know, before it was dark, brown, dirty, black water. And you wouldn't even think about drinking it. Now it's starting to go a little bit, maybe a bit more green than black or brown. And you're thinking, maybe. You can start seeing the algae inside it now. Before you couldn't even see that. One sip of that would poison you. But what do people do? They don't just drink it themselves, they go and offer it to other people as well. Oh, I've got some water, would you like some? And they offer it. One sip of that poisons you. It's toxic. Minisu taniyam pav karanne ne? Anithayata pav karanne kiyala ne minisu pav karanne? They don't go and, you know, when they steal, they ask other people to come and be their accomplices. What are they doing? They're giving them some of their dirty water. Here, would you like some? And this is toxic. Toxic, why? This is what takes you to apayas. Okay? So you start cleaning this water. Now remember, while you're doing this, there's every drop, every moment, a few drops are still dripping. Even the dirty water. But before this water runs out, one sip of clean water is enough to cure you completely. Your thirst. One sip of clean water. But this water is not clean yet. So you continue listening to the Dhamma. You remove all of the kusa, all of the kunu. Kunu tika okkama ekeka salahana. And one day, your water is pure. Crystal clean, pure water. Now you can drink it. And that's the day you become an arahant. Because all of the kunu, all of the dirt that's in there, you have removed it by listening to the Dhamma. By practicing listening and practicing the Dhamma, like Sashi said. And then, whatever you have left, you offer to other people. Here's some clean water. Let go of what's in your hands, all that toxic water. You didn't realize that's going to kill you the moment you take a sip of it. Drink some of this. And you keep offering that to other people. So that they can do the same as well. So that they can stop this rebirth cycle. Okay? So whenever, you know, whenever you think about doing something bad, before you go and start a fight with your siblings, with your parents, before you say something bad, think about, just imagine this. There's water dripping from what I have every second. What am I doing? What am I doing? There's a drop of water dripping every few seconds. This water is gonna run out. Do I waste my time going and arguing and fighting with other people, or do I spend my time wisely so I can clean this water up and take a sip of it quickly so I can quench my thirst? You don't have time to go wasting. Okay? So, we were talking about sotapanna. How do you become a sotapanna? You understand why you need to become a sotapanna. And to become a sotapanna, Shami, you said it was to eradicate raga, dvesha, moha. Now remember, and we said, how do you spot someone that has attained nirvana? You can't see them from the outside. But you still need to go and listen to the Dhamma. This is why the Buddha says, so, yo dhammang pasati, so mang pasati. If you want to see me, if you want to see a Buddha, see the Dhamma. How do you see the Dhamma? You listen to the Dhamma. So if you want to see if someone has attained the marga phala, listen to their Dhamma. Listen to what they say. The Buddha defines nirvana just like you said there, Shalini. Because someone asked the Buddha. One day someone came up to the Buddha and asked, oh Venerable Sir, today you preach about nirvana. In the future someone else is going to come and say something similar. How do I know if what I'm listening to is going to actually help me attain nirvana? And the Buddha says, when you listen to, you know, go and listen to anybody you want. But be very mindful of what you're listening to. If what you're listening to helps you remove raga, dvesha and moha from your mind, at least for a split second, continue listening to that Dhamma. If what you're listening to develops or further cultivates raga, dvesha and moha in your mind, That's not the Dhamma that's going to help you attain Nirvana. Walk away from that. If your goal is to attain Nirvana. If your goal is something else, that's fine. Continue listening to that. But this is the only test of what you have today. When you listen to the Dhamma, always ask yourself, is this Dharma, is what I am listening to, helping me remove Raga, Dvesha, Moha from my mind? Now the question is, what is Raga, Dvesha, Moha? Because you need to know what it is. What is Raga, Dvesha, Moha? What is Nibbana? Complete eradication of Raga, Dvesha, Moha. In English, lust or desire, aversion or anger, hatred, you can use all of these words. Okay? And Moha is delusion. Then you know, okay, if that's what Nirvana is, and it's something that you... Is Nirvana something you attain in this lifetime, or is it something you attain after your death? Sashi, what do you think? This lifetime. Did the Buddha attain Nirvana under the Bodhi tree? That was what he attained. That was what he attained. You know, Nirvana is what he attained in this lifetime. So why did he then still go to Parinirvana? What's the difference? This is a place some people get stuck in. What is Nirvana and Parinirvana? What's the difference? Nirvana and Parinirvana.
In Nirvana, you don't suffer mentally.
Uh-huh.
You still suffer physically.
Spot on. Yes, absolutely. So in Nirvana, you don't suffer mentally. After you attain Nirvana, you don't suffer mentally. But you still have a physical form, a body. Which means you are continuously subjected to all the pain and the suffering that, you know, anyone that possesses a body, like hunger, someone hits you, it's gonna hurt you, someone could hurt, you know, actually come and stab you, all these things. You know, you can get hurt, wounds. Devadatthamduru, Galapelluane, Buddhamduru, Kapila Leyenda. Namunwansi, Nivandakalanamedi Dibbe. The Buddha had attained Nibbana, right? But Devadat pushed a rock, and then, you know, part of that came and cut his leg, and then he started bleeding. So he's, you know, the bad karmas that you've done come back to bite you even after you become a Buddha. So what talk is there about people like you and I? This is a Buddha, Samma Sambuddha is still suffering the bad karmas that they've done, that he's done in the past. Okay? So Parinibbana is where you entirely stop, you know, building these chittas. Every moment survival is based on us constructing chittas, thoughts, okay? And that continues to happen for as long as there's life within these bodies. But once you attain Nirvana, so that's become an arahat, there's no longer Raga, Dvesha, Moha in your minds. And then when you become Parinibbana, that is at the moment of your death, you are no longer born again. You are not born again. This is why we talk about stopping this rebirth cycle. Okay, so you need to understand all of these things. Because, you know, when people are, you know, growing up, you ask, okay, what is Nibbana? Stop rebirth. Why do I need to stop rebirth? I just want to attain Nibbana. I don't want to stop rebirth. So what's the connection then? You need to understand these things. So is Nibbana something you attain in this life or after death? Okay, we found an answer to that. So what is Raga, Dvesha, Moha? Let's give some meaning to it. You know, it's one thing to give a translation, but it's another to actually understand what they actually mean. What is Raga, Dvesha, Moha? What is Raga?
The desire to fulfill your senses.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you talk about the five senses, the eye, your eye, your ears, your nose, your tongue, and your body, the desire to fulfill or satisfy these five senses is kama raga. There are three types of raga. So we're talking about lust. We're talking about the desire, our wish to satisfy, our wish for desire. Why are we talking about raga? What's the problem with raga? It keeps you in samsara, right? This is why we are talking about it. The Buddha comes into this world to teach us how to stop going through samsara. So now we understand the problem, let's understand what causes it. Then we understand how to stop it, and the path to stop it. That's the Chaturarya Satya. So raga is what keeps us in samsara. So there are three types of raga, as I said. There's kama raga, which is trying to satisfy your five sensual pleasures through your eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and physical body. Kama raga. So where do beings that have kama raga, where are they born? In the human realm, where else?
Some devils.
Yeah. In all of the devils, in fact. And the hells. So as long as you have kama raga within you, you will be born either in the heavens, in the human realm, or in the apaya. Okay? Now becoming a sotapanna will remove the apayas from that equation. And you'll only be born either in the human world or in the deva worlds. Okay? So that's kama raga. What is rupa raga? What is rupa? Okay, what is kama? Sorry, what does kama mean? You know what raga is? Raga is lust, desire. What is kama raga? What is kama? No, that's karma. Karma is deeds. We're talking about kama. So kama, a loose translation into English could be sensual. Sensual pleasure, okay? So kama raga. But kama has a deeper meaning than that. There's an etymology to the word kama. How that word is constructed. Remember we talked about kunu, ka. This word, this letter ka comes up a lot of times in Buddhism. In the Buddha's teaching, ka. Ku, sal. Okay? Ka-ama, kama. Ka-anta, tanta. Tanta again, gata? Tanta again, gyanu gati. But they can vary the pavachikarna vachan. In Sinhala, kanta is the word for a woman. But ka is dirt. The bad things. Eke ante ati kipu gati, tamai kanta. Ka anta, ante again the extreme. Then, but just because you have the body of a woman doesn't mean you are a kanta. Someone that has the body of a man can still be a kanta. Why? If they go to the extremes of doing the bad things, ka kila ivat karanon, ka kina kunutika. The things that you need to get rid of, raga, dvesha, moha, dasa, akusa, oitike ante de gibu katte kavurala dupadin. Egolo tu lati karagano kanta gati. That's kanta. But just because you have a physical form of woman, that doesn't mean you're a kanta. You could be a pirimi, but have a physical form of woman. Pirimi ken? What is saradharma? So saradharma is, what is dharma? Saradharma is virtues. If you fill yourself up, piri imi, piri is to purona, is to full. Ima is to the brim. Okay? If you fill yourself up to the brim with virtues, you are a pirimi. Arahat vechcha gyanu kattiya nadda? Innone Yashodhara Maharahatan Vahanse. So when they become a Maharahat, I mean, I am not there yet. So compared to her, I'm not a pirimi. But that's not talking about what my physical form is. Okay? So anyway, we were talking about ka. Ka-ama. Kama. Kama kiyana vachane therum mokak. Ama kiyane ameya. Ameya is amurte. In English it's elixir. You heard of the word elixir? What is elixir?
No.
Okay. So elixir is what they, amurte is what they have, it's the food that they have in the heavens. It's the food that the gods consume. It generally talks, it's like the, It's the food, the kind of food that gives you a lot of pleasure and a lot of happiness. Okay? So that's a loose translation, but if you follow that through. Kirtyan ekanavatalanam. So if nirvana is amaya, is elixir, kirtyan ekanavatalanam. What gets in the way of that? That's why it's karma. So karma is sensual pleasure. So sensual pleasures, if your attachment to sensual pleasures, stop you from going towards nirvana. That's why karma raga is a problem. Then you have rupa raga. Rupa is form. There are brahma worlds. You know, anywhere there is existence, you have not attained nirvana yet. I mean, you're still going through samsara. Okay? So in the rupa worlds, where there are brahma worlds, that's rupa raga. That rupa raga is what takes you to brahma worlds. Certain types of brahma worlds. Then there are another type of brahma worlds called arupa, where there's no form. So there's only a mind, but there's no physical form as such. There's arupa raga. So kama raga, rupa raga, arupa raga. These are the three types of raga. Okay? So raga, the meaning of raga is whatever that takes you through samsara, that keeps you attached. That is what raga is. So what is dvesha then? What is dvesha? What's aversion? What is dvesha, Sashi? Anger? Hatred. Have you heard these words? Hatred. Good. You're lucky.
Yeah.
Because these are bad things. These are the things that keep someone in samsara. Aversion is when you have, so dvesha, the loose translation of dvesha, or the interpretation of that is, when you have an attachment to something and you get the opposite of that, that's aversion. You want something but you get something else. Now how do you feel about that? That's aversion. That's suffering that is caused within you. The problem is the dvesha. You want something else. You want, you know, whatever you get, you want something else. Or anger. When you're angry with someone, the reason for anger is because you have dvesha inside you. Your chitta, your thoughts are defiled with the dvesha or anger. Okay? Then there's moha. So we're talking about raga, dvesha, moha. Moha is delusion. So delusion is not knowing that this is the problem with samsara. It's thinking that going through samsara is what's going to give me happiness. It's thinking that happiness exists outside me. You know, it's the TV that's going to make me happy. It's the drink, whatever drink I'm taking, it's going to make me happy. It's the food that's going to make me happy. It's thinking that happiness exists outside me, and therefore I go looking for it. This is why I tell, you know, children, go and ask your parents. They have been looking for happiness outside themselves for a very long period of time, much longer than you have. Have they found it? If they have found it, then do the same. If they haven't found it, then realize that something's wrong with what they're doing. So, raga, dvesha, moha. Okay? So, we know what nirvana is. We know what keeps us in nirvana. It's having this raga, dvesha, moha within us. So how do you stop, how do you attain nirvana? It's by eradicating raga, dvesha, moha. So how do you eradicate raga, dvesha, moha? And why are we talking about this? Because this is what helps us become sotapanna. To understand this. The problem is that we are suffering. What is it that causes suffering, going through this samsara, being subject to death, decay, being hurt, being removed from people that we like, having to associate with people that we don't like, grievances, sorrow, grief, we're continuously subject to this, hunger, death, ultimately, and then we'll start all over again. Okay, so that's the problem. The cause for that is raga, dvesha, moha. So then therefore to stop it, You have to eradicate raga, dvesha, moha. So then the question is, how do you do that? How do you do that?
By listening to Bana.
Yes. By listening to Bana. But how does listening to Bana help you do that?
You can shave the way to stop the raga, dvesha, moha.
Yeah.
Listening to yourself would slowly decrease the raga, dvesha, moha.
Yes. So listening to Bana is going to help you. See, it's gonna help you understand how you tackle raga, dvesha, moha. You know, raga, dvesha, moha are defilements that exist within us. Now we need to try and find a way to remove these. So we need to listen to the kind of bana that helps us do that. So when you listen to bana, what do you need to take from bana? Api thama hari bana tahano kiyala. Bana tahano. Oyagala karana ona bana hanana den kale kiyala. Hari? ඒ බණ අහලා මොකද්ද කරන්න ඕනේ? Yes. But what how do you actually, what kind of bana do you need to listen to? Okay, you know, you're saying it's a kind of bana that helps you remove raga, dvesha, moha. But what is that bana?
Buddha.
Yes. And what is that? So how do you, what is Buddha bana? Yes. Which is?
The Dhamma. The Dhamma.
The Dhamma, yeah. So, what I'm trying to get to is, it's the bana that helps you realize that the world, if our delusion is what takes us through samsara, okay, it's the bana that would help us come out of that delusion. So, what is the delusion that we hold?
That the world is sarai.
Yes, that the world is sarai. And what is sarai? What's an English word for that, for people listening in? It's full of happiness, full of essence, right? It's full of hope, and there's happiness out there. And why do we think that is the case? Because we think the world is nitya sukha atta, subha. This is a key concept that we need to try and understand. This is why the Buddha says, no, the world is anicca, dukkha, anatta, asubha. But we continue living in samsara until the Buddha comes along and says it's anicca, dukkha, anatta, asubha. We think it's nicca, sukha, atta, asubha. The complete opposite of that. What is nicca? What is nicca? Okay, let me give you an example, right? Let's try and work this out from your own life experiences. Think of something that you really like. Maybe a favorite toy, maybe a favorite book, maybe a TV program, or a person that you like. What is it for you, Sashi?
My favorite thing is the
person. Is a person, right. Okay, good. So, let's take a person then. Right? Let's see why we like this person. Why do we like this person? Now you don't need to tell me who that person is, but why do we like that person? Why do you like that person?
Because
she's clever. Mhm. So do you like everyone that's clever?
Mhm.
That's right. Some people are bad and then they're and clever. But you don't like them, do you? Yeah. So there's more that you look for in this person than them being clever. There are other things that you look in for them. What else do you look in them that you know that is a reason for you to like them? Is it their looks? Is it the fact that they give you what you ask for, what you like? Is it the fact that they talk to you nicely? They say loving things? Is it the fact that they make you happy by giving you all of these things? It could be a number of those things. Yeah? If you think about a toy, what is it you like about it? You know, for some people listening, it might be a favorite toy that they might have. You know, some kind of object. Maybe it's the color of that. Maybe it's the fact that, you know, you can operate that with a remote control. Maybe it's some kind of toy like that. But, you know, so think about this, right? I've had toys, you've had toys, we all had toys growing up, okay? But is that, you know, all of these toys, after a certain time, you know, after using it, you discard it. You give it to somebody else. You throw it away. You don't think, sometimes you even forget about it. But when you first get it, there's nothing more precious to you than that toy. Some people don't even eat, sleep, drink, or do a study. They forget all of that because of this toy. For some people it might be a computer game, or their phone, the internet. Some people forget to eat, sleep, drink, shower. Why? There's nothing more important to them than that thing. And for some people it could be a book, could be a novel, Harry Potter. Maybe, who knows? Then you forget everything else. Why?
You're too attached to it.
You're too attached to it, exactly. So if it's attachment then, why do then people, after a little time, after a little while, what changes then? Why is it that after a while you stop playing with that toy and now you're asking your parents for another toy? Because you get bored of it, yeah. Exactly. Because you get bored with that toy, right? You always play with that toy and then you get bored of it. What makes you bored of something, Sachin?
When it's so when you like it very much.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stop getting bored of it because you already like that toy,
Exactly. So you could have a piece broken in the toy. It could not be working like it used to. Right? Or what you will... So say it was a TV program. Maybe a cartoon that you are addicted to. Right? Every day, you know, at a certain time out, you know, come back home from school, you sit in front of the TV and you wait for that cartoon. Okay. Why can't you not watch the same cartoon over and over and over again? Why do you need something different? You know, like if you take a cartoon series, like, let's say Tom and Jerry. Everyone knows Tom and Jerry. Okay? Now, Tom and Jerry, they've been running over you, Simpsons. Right? Why can you not watch the same episode of Simpsons every day? Because you get bored of it. You'll watch Simpsons, but not the same episode. What happens if you watch the same episode twice, the second time? Yeah, I know this. Okay, fine, I'll watch it again. No, maybe they haven't got the time to put another episode together. I'll continue watching this, but I can't watch this again. And then the next day also, you have the same episode of Simpsons. You probably change the channel. I can't watch this again. I watched this 2 times already now. Why? You get bored. What is it that causes this boredom? How do you get bored? Have you ever thought about this? Why do people get bored? It's because you're looking for something in it. And you're not finding it. Imagine you were waiting for a friend. Okay, so I say, a friend says, Charlie, I'm going to come and see you at this time, next Saturday. Make sure you're at home, I'll come and see you. Or you say, I'm going to meet you at the bus stop. Okay, be there, I'll come and see you. Now you go there. Exactly the right time, all prepared for your friend, and you wait. 5 minutes go by. 15 minutes go by, 45 minutes go by, an hour goes by, you're ringing them, they say, I'm almost there. Another hour goes by, and they're still not there. You walk away, wouldn't you? I mean, or would you still be there like until the next day and you're like, it's fine, I'll wait for as long as you come. You'd walk away. They go, I'm really sorry, something happened last week, I'm gonna come next week, I promise you. So you go the following week and you're still there at the bus stop. 10 minutes go by, 15 minutes go by, you're not going to wait any longer. You're going to go away. Why? Because you're waiting there looking for something, you're not getting what you're looking for, you look away, you walk away from that. This is why when you play with toys, you watch a book, you watch a cartoon, okay? You can't watch the same episode over and over and over again. You can't play with the same toy over and over and over and over again. You get bored of it. Why? Because what you're looking for does not exist in that object. What is it that you're looking for? You're looking for something that's going to make you happy. When you play with a toy, you're expecting this toy to make you happy. When you watch an episode of Simpsons, you're expecting that episode to make you happy. When you talk to a friend, you associate with someone, you're looking for them to make you happy. And when that doesn't happen, I've already watched this episode. I can't watch it again. Why? I can't find the happiness that I looked in this. So I know that for sure. But the new episode? Yeah, I'll probably find it in the next episode. I'll watch the next episode. A new toy? Yeah, I'll play with a new toy now. Because that toy, no, it didn't give me the happiness I was looking for. I played with it for a week and I didn't get the happiness I was looking for. Now I need a new toy. Or a book. You read it to the end. Why can't you start again and read it again? Your mind is always looking for these two things. Vedana, Sanya. What is Vedana and Sanya? Feeling and perception. So, feeling is not necessarily touch. It's not the touch that you feel. It's a feeling that something's going on. Okay? You're feeling that something's happening, something's going on. Your mind is always looking for that. Your mind is so restless, it's like a monkey. It can't wait in one place. It's always jumping here, there, everywhere. How long can you sit down, focus on one thing and not think about anything else? And this is what some types of meditation ask you to do. Focus your mind on something and just continue thinking about that. Unfortunately, that doesn't help you attain Nibbana. You can practice focusing your mind on something, on one object, but if eradicating raga, dvesha, moha is what you need to do to attain Nibbana, how does focusing your mind on one object help you do that? There's no logic in that. But your mind is always looking for Vedana and Sanya. So Vedana being feeling that something's going on, and perception, that is to be able to identify what's going on. Right? It's not enough to just know what's going on. You want to actually identify what's going on. You want to know what's going on as well. Not just something's going on. You want to know what's going on. It's like, imagine, you know, you're in your bedroom. You can hear the TV in your living room, right? The rest of the family is watching TV. You're doing some work in your room. If you can hear the TV, what do you normally say? Can you turn it down, please? Why do you say that? Because it's distracting you. What is this concept of distraction? You're hearing this and your mind is constantly trying to do what? First, identify it, to feel it and to perceive it, to identify it. This is why you can't do what you're trying to do, which is to read your book or do your study, do your homework. Why? Because your mind is trying to do the same thing for whatever's going on the TV. Because your mind can't just ignore what your ears are, you know, those signals your ear is bringing to you. Why? This is what raga is. Pokatamai prashne. If you are a Rahatan Vahanse, do you think that's ever going to be a problem to you? If you gave a Rahatan Vahanse, please read this book. And then you play the radio or the TV, you turn it up loud. It's not going to bother them one bit. They will read the book and they'll come and tell you exactly what's there. Why? Because their mind is not constantly, you know, it's not a monkey. It's not a monkey mind that they have. It's jumping from this to that, that to this, this to that, that to this. So, when you ask your parents or your brother or your sister, can you turn that down please? It's distracting me. Remember for one moment that the problem is not that the TV is too loud. The problem is that your mind can't focus on one thing. Your mind is constantly trying to take these perceptions that's happening elsewhere and to try and give it meaning. So the problem is not outside. Sashi told me last week, she doesn't want to be a window person. She wants to be a mirror person. Throughout this Dhamma, this is what you need to do. Practical example. This is what we say, apply this. Practice this. So when you say practice it at home. Why do you ask someone to turn the TV down? This is what we talked about. The problem is not the TV. The problem is your mind can't focus on what you're doing. So try and fix that problem. Another example. You know how they say it's really rude to be on the phone in public places? Like when you're on a tube or a bus. You know, you get frowns from people. You go, how, you know, like dirty looks from people when they see you on the phone. What's the problem? What if it was two people talking to each other? Why is that not a problem? Why is talking on the phone such a big problem? It's because the person listening to it cannot understand what's going on the other side. Because they are mentally suffering because of that. Because people want to know, oh, what is he talking? What is he talking about? Who is he talking to? Oh, he said, I'll come and see you tomorrow for that. He only said that. What could it be? Oh, I can't find out now. So, you know, I'm suffering inside my mind now. If it was two people, if it were two people, you know what's going on. We can listen to the conversation. Right? But if it's someone on the phone, you can't. This is why they say it's rude to talk on the phone. Because this is how the world works. The problem is outside, not with me. The world always looks outside the window. Don't be someone like that. When you're on the tube or when you're on the bus, when you're on public transport in public places, and you see you see someone on the phone, and you think, you know, you can study your mind very carefully. When that person says something, your mind will be trying to process what might the other person be saying. If you haven't done this, put it into practice. Do this experiment. Be conscious of what your thoughts are at that moment in time. Your mind is thinking, what might the other person have said? Is that a girl or a boy? Hey darling. Oh, who might the other person be? Might she be pretty? Might she be rich? Que sera sera. This is because the problem is with your mind. It's always looking for Vedana Sanya. But if it was two people, I know exactly what they're talking about. You see the problem now? Right? So if that is the raga that exists within the mind always wants to go and attach itself to somewhere and try to take this Vedana Sanya. Okay? So, when you understand that it's this process of raga, dvesha and moha that's taking me through samsara, you then ask yourself, how do I stop this? Because I don't want to go through this samsara. Then you think, okay, what is it that causes this raga, dvesha, moha? It's this delusion of nitya, sukha, atta, subha. Nitya is the belief that things are the way they are because I want them to be the way they are. Now, the example we talked about is, you know, think about your favorite person, your favorite book, right? Now, you see, that toy, when you start playing with it, you think that's going to give me happiness. But it's not giving you the happiness you want. This is why you go to another toy. This is why you read another book, a new chapter, a new episode. Because it's not giving you what you want. Because things outside are not the way you want it. It's just cause and effect. Cause and effect. That toy, you know, Sashi said, you know, it might break. A wheel might come off. And then you no longer like it. So for as long as it's doing what you think is going to make you happy, you attach yourself to it. But as soon as the cause has stopped for it to exist as it is, that's it. You no longer like it. So if you then attach yourself to that, as soon as it changes, you're going to suffer. This is why the Buddha says attachment is what causes suffering. So the problem is not that It is the way it is. The problem is that you then go and attach yourself to it, mentally. So, with your understanding that anything that you see around you is cause and effect, you then come to the realization that, well, when the causes change, the effect changes. Okay? And therefore, what is the point in me attaching myself to something, thinking that it's forever going to be like that, when actually it's just a case of, for as long as the causes are like that, the effect is going to be that. As soon as that stops, I'm going to suffer. So why do I attach myself to something when I know it's going to cause me suffering? It's a very foolish thing to do. So this is something you need to practice at home then. Anything that you think, you know, that thing gives me happiness. That toy gives me happiness. This person gives me happiness. Think about why is it. This is your exercise for this week. Alright, your homework for this week. Anything that you think gives you happiness, whether it's a person, a book, a toy, or a TV program, a cartoon, whatever the case might be, think about why is it that I think this thing gives me happiness. And, you know, go beyond what you see on the outside. If it's a color, think about why is it that color gives me happiness. If it's the fact that the toy runs, you know, fast and it makes all of these nice sounds when it works, why is it that gives me happiness? Is it not because your mind is always looking for a change, for Vedana Sanya? Think about all the toys you've had in the past. Why is it those toys, I don't use them now? Why do I keep looking for new toys? Why do I keep looking to read new books? Why do I keep looking to watch new episodes? Ask yourself that question. How are we doing for time? Okay, so understanding this concept of cause and effect, and we need to talk more about this in a future session. Because cause and effect, I think we probably talked for many weeks with the two of you. Okay, and we still haven't covered the entirety of it. But it's over time you're going to understand this. The problem is this, right? If I summarize what the problem is, I put it this way. If you look outside, now you can see it's quite sunny. Is it sunny because you want it to be sunny? Is it sunny because you like it being sunny? What if you had a skin condition which meant as soon as you walk outside and the sun hits your skin, it starts burning or it starts scratching, you know, itching? Would you like the sun? But there are skin conditions that are like that. As soon as you walk outside, as soon as the sunlight hits you, that person can't tolerate that. They start scratching and then, you know, it starts bleeding, and therefore they always live, in a dark room. Or they have blinds so that the sunlight doesn't get in. I'm talking about real people, not vampires. Okay? So, if they don't like it, but you might like that it's sunlight out there, then clearly, whether someone likes or doesn't like something has nothing to do with what the weather is outside, whether it's sunny or dark, or whether it's grey outside. Now, but if you attach yourself to that, say you were thinking of doing the garden today, right? You want to do some gardening, and you were waiting for the weekend. You think of, you watch the weather forecast early in the week, and they say it was going to be sunny. And if you think, yeah, I'm going to stay at home and I'm going to get my garden all done up and, you know, I'm going to spend the weekend doing that. As the weekend approaches, the sky starts going grey. And it starts raining. And it's raining and it's pouring like cats and dogs. Now the whole weekend, all the plans you had for the weekend, washed away. These things happen. But if you attach to yourself, if mentally you're thinking, I have to do this, this is what I want to do, this is my plan, and it's going to be like that because I planned it, and you then attach yourself to it, what's going to happen then? You're going to be disappointed. This is why I always say, expectation leads to disappointment. If you expect something, expect to be disappointed. Take out that insurance policy. If you are not ready to be disappointed, what should you do? If you don't like being disappointed, what should you do? Not expect. Accept it. Do you understand what that means, Sashi? If you don't like to be disappointed, don't expect. If you like some food and you want your mother to have cooked that for you when you get home today, what if she hasn't cooked that for you? You're going to be disappointed. So the only way to not be disappointed is not to expect that. But why do people expect? People expect because they think it's going to happen the way I want to. This is why people expect. But then when things don't happen the way they want it, they are then disappointed. So the problem is not realizing that things will only happen the way, a certain way, if the conditions for that line up in a certain way. And people feel that they can influence all of that. But the reality is that you can't. And see, it's such a simple thing. So what about going through samsara? Do you like to go through samsara? Do you like to go to hell? But if the causes are there, if the conditions are there for you to go to hell, can you stop it? No. And this is why unless you become a sotapanna, the causes for you to go to samsara, the conditions that might take you to samsara have not been eradicated yet. You've got to do that. So whether you like it or not has nothing to do with it. This is the concept of anicca. Iccha is your liking, anicca is it's not the way you like. And if you set expectations, the result is suffering, disappointment. That is the dukkha that comes out of that. And then to continue doing that, when you can see this is the process, is useless, hopeless, futile. This is what anatta is. And when you can see there's clearly a problem, why do you want to continue going through in samsara, repeating the same process? That is what asubha is. So understanding this, one then comes to the realization, I now begin to see the world as anicca. I now begin to see the world that, see, everything I see around me, I can see is just cause and effect. When causes change, the effect changes. Therefore, it's pointless in me attaching myself to the effects because it's only a result of the causes. And the less and less I do that, the less and less that suffering is what I am destined for. Okay, so we'll continue from this point hopefully next week because there's a lot more that I want to talk about. But I don't want to drag this on so that, you know, because you've taken on some really important points. But, and I want you to practice that at home. So what is the exercise for this week then? I always want to leave you every week with an exercise. What was last week's exercise? Yes. So last week's exercise was about when you take refuge in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, when you recite those gathas, Buddha Sarnan, Dhamma Sarnan, Sangha Sarnan, Gacchami, think about what you're saying. Okay? So now ask yourself, and I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, whether you've done that. Remember, as Sashi said earlier, it's about listening to the Dhamma and practicing it. If you don't practice, you're not going to get the result. Knowledge is power, is a lie. Knowledge put into practice is power. Knowledge put into action is power. You can read the Tripitaka and not do anything with it and you will never attain Nibbana. If you want to attain Nibbana, you've got not only got to listen to this, but you've got to practice it. Okay? So this is why I give you these exercises to do at home. So that next week when you come, we can continue from that point. Otherwise you come as a new student every day. And you will never move forward from there. Every day you'll be failing at the same hurdle. You don't want to be in the same class another year. So that was last week's exercise. If you haven't done that, remind yourselves why you need to practice it. So you have two pieces of homework this week. You know, these things you have to do from that point every day. Once you understand why you seek refuge, you don't then stop the next week. Next time you say Buddha Sannam Gacchami, you practice it again. Okay? But this week's exercise is this. Whenever you see yourself attaching to something, whether it's a toy, a person, a book, a video game, a cartoon, whatever the case might be, think about what is it that causes me to attach to this. Why can I not keep attaching myself and enjoying from the same thing 100 times over? Why can't I not read the same book 100 times and get the same pleasure that I get today? Why can I not play with the same doll or the same house? You know, whatever toy you have, a toy car, toy plane, whatever. Why can I not play with the same thing 100 times and get the same pleasure I get today? Think about that. And then we'll continue why that is in a bit more detail next week. Any questions?
You know, when you meditate, you know something like you said, that like this meditation, where you can't do one thing for like a long time. You can attain, I've read that you can attain these jhanas too.
So you can attain dhyana states when you focus your mind on one thing. So dhyana states allow you to do what we call it's like miracles, right? So when you focus your mind on one thing, what you're doing is you're trying to align your thoughts on one object. So, you know, normally your monkey mind is that your thoughts come from everywhere. Okay? But when you focus your mind on one thing, you can then attain these dhyana states which allow you to walk on water, maybe light a fire somewhere without even touching it, go levitate, you know what levitation is? To float, okay? Things like that. But people generally have to spend a lot of time to attain those states. Sometimes many years, sometimes a lifetime. And some people wish to do that, and that's fine. But the thing is, to levitate, you just need a helicopter. Or an aircraft. You don't need to spend a whole lifetime. Now, I levitate now and I haven't done any dhyanas. I just get a flight ticket, a plane ticket. Or you can go on these websites and for about £45, you can get by half an hour in a helicopter. And I can levitate. I don't need to spend half my life trying to attain dhyanas to do that. To light a fire, I don't need to struggle that much. I just use a matchstick and I get my fire. The problem is this. At this time, you have the Buddha's Dhamma. And the Buddha's Dhamma is there to help you attain Nibbana. So do you spend your life attaining dhyanas so you can perform these magic acts? You know, what other people might see as magic, but again, it's just Hetupala. Dhyana, when you attain dhyana and you perform these miracles, all you're doing is you're creating the right conditions for the effect to take place. Okay? But do we do that now? And these things can be done even without the Buddha. Before the Buddha's time, there were ascetics who used to be able to do these things. Focus your mind on one thing, continue to focus your mind, and your mind becomes so focused that you start getting various powers. You know, you can hear things that happen many kilometers away without being there. You can see things that happen many, many kilometers away in other countries, other planets. That's what you have the TV for. You don't need a dhyana for that. With technology, a lot of things that people can do through dhyana, you are now able to do with technology. And you don't have to work so hard for that. Just go to Argos or PC World and you pay some money and you get a piece of equipment that allows you to do that. But to attain Nibbana, you can't do it like that. For that, you have to practice prajna. So there are various dhyanas, and I have to be honest with you, I haven't done a lot of study into it generally. That's because while they're good, there's no harm in doing, there's no harm in doing that, but some dhyanas can take you to arupa worlds, where you're born with just form, there's no mind. It's as if you had attained Nibbana, but for a very long period of time, but once that time runs out, you're back in samsara. I mean, you're back born as a human or a deva. So what's the point then? That's a very temporary thing. And if you take the entire samsara, length of samsara, that's like the time it takes. You know, it's maybe like an hour in samsara. You're in that arupa world. Do you want to do that? Do you want to attain Nibbana as a temporary thing, or do you want to do it forever? You want to do it forever, and you have the Dhamma to help you do that. So, honestly, I can't give you a full comprehensive answer because I haven't done a lot of study into it. Okay? But there's lots of texts out there that will teach you about Dhyanas and how you can practice some of that. But the thing is this, when you practice the Buddha's Dhamma and you become an Arahant, when you practice the path of attaining Nibbana, Anicca Dukkha Anatta Vadala, Nibbana, Nivan, Margi, Anatta, you can practice karna kota, or Dhyana Kinya, Ivetam Pahala. You will attain these powers that come through people that people have to work so hard to attain through dhyana meditation. Automatically, when you actually practice the path of going to Nibbana, and one day when you become an arahant, performing these miracles becomes a pain. You know, when Venerable Moggallana, who was only second to the Buddha in his powers of performing these miracles, when he had to perform these miracles to convince other people, you know, here's what the apayas look like. You know, they have to do things for that. You know, you have to focus your mind on that. Because to an arahant, there's nothing more than being in Nirodha Samapatti. Nirodha Samapatti is where you stop your thoughts. No thoughts arise after that point. So anything outside of that, even going to a dhani is a pain for them. A pain as it's something that they have to engage in. And you know, that's why they only do it out of compassion. They have nothing to gain out of it. So you will attain all these miracles and the power to perform these miracles one day when you become an arahant. But on that day you'll be like, what a pain. You know, what's the point of these things anyway? It's like money, right? When you have it, you don't need it. When you don't have it, you really need it. The powers that you get with dhyana is very similar. When you have it one day, I don't need it really. But when you don't have it, people are really struggling for them. They really want it. So it's a bit like that. Any other questions? So what you saw was an ascetic. So it wasn't necessarily a Buddhist monk. Well, clearly it wasn't a Buddhist monk. There was no Buddhism before the Buddha. But there were people who were looking for ways to end this process of rebirth, to end suffering. There were people looking to end suffering. This is why the Bodhisattva went to Arar Kalam and Uddhakaramaputta. Because, you know, they were all trying to find a way to end suffering. So, you know, even in that day, they were ascetics who had renunciated, left lay life, and went and donned robes. They would go around for alms, and they would practice whatever they thought was right. Some people practiced, giving them, subjecting their bodies to pain, physical pain. Okay. Some people practiced dhyanas, focusing their mind on one thing. But no one practiced the Arya Ashtangika Marga. Because a Samma Sambuddha is the person that would realize that that is the way to Nibbana. Because no one had figured what's the right path to Nibbana. Everyone is looking for it. But the Samma Sambuddha was the only one that actually found it. And then he said, I have now found the path. Listen, practice, and attain the same food that I have. But everyone is looking for it. So the Buddha had, as a Bodhisattva, he had done all of these, fulfilled all these paramita to be born at that time as a human, and all of the right conditions were lined up for him to get that, he had such wisdom which he had acquired by, you know, ping karala, okkoma karala, aatma ganath wisse. So that under the Bodhi tree, he was then able to attain that, you know, to see that path clearly. Any questions in mind? Okay. Right, okay, so there are, sorry, any questions, any more questions for me? Okay. Right, so remember the exercise I've given you today. What's the exercise I've given you? What's the exercise? Yes, exactly. To think, to try and analyze why is it that I'm attached to something? What causes that attachment? And then next week when we meet, we can try and continue from that program. Okay? Everyone's at night.